life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
Let's try this one more time. You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. Thanks for listening. We have no guest tonight. We are the little red hen. We said, who would come on our podcast? Who would make our podcast with us? Help us make a Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva podcast. Everyone said no.
Did they actually say no?
No, they didn't.
Oh, I was going to say. That's offensive and upsetting. Well, I'm definitely Luke. You can be Herschel. I always forget that's his name.
Yeah, there's some interesting first names in this. Clamp. Somebody else's first name of a recurring character. Anyway, Anthony.
Yes.
Do the honors of the reading the synopsis of the back of the Blu-ray.
Let's get in a good spot here. Let's get the DVD, because the light's very dim in here, so I'm squinting. Okay. So, actually, I've never done this before. I'm going to start from the top. The Professor's first movie and his toughest puzzle yet. Professor Layton, true Englishman and the world's greatest amateur super sleuth, embarks on his most daring adventure yet when he receives a letter from his old student, the famous opera diva Janice Quatlane. Quatlane? Was it Quatlane? I can't remember the surname.
I can't remember. There's sure Janice most of the time.
Yeah. Janice Quatlane. She used to perform at the legendary Crown Petone Opera House and invites him to attend as her special guest. Meanwhile, a spate of disappearances hits London. Two young schools are at the... What? Honestly, I'm squinting. It's tiny.
Two young schools?
Two young... this is why I never do it. Two young schoolgirls are the latest victims, and the professor suspects it's related to the mysterious occurrences at the theatre. The professor and his loyal assistant Luke travel to the opera house to solve their toughest puzzle yet, the mystery of eternal life. There we go.
Yeah,
the lighting in this room is, honestly, it's like reading this in the dark. It's really bad.
Put your lights on.
There it is. It's one of those energy saver ones, so it's still gearing up.
The old sort, yeah. You got to get them replaced, Anthony. You got to get LEDs.
Are they good?
Yes, they are. They
make expensive, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they come down in price, and they last. You sound like my mum. I had to go and
We've talked about bulbs before. I'm sure we have.
Possibly, yeah. But my mum was like, oh, no. And so one Christmas, I replaced her living room bulb with an LED, and then she was like, because her eyesight's going, and I was like, there's very little light in this room. It's not just your eyesight making it hard to see. It's your light.
You might be. I might buy a couple, test them out.
Well, I've got a spare one. If it's a screw one, I can give you it when I see you at...
What a gift!
Yes, because I bought the wrong socket. Anyway, Professor Layton, the Eternal Diva.
Oh, gosh.
It was like £1.70, so I thought, I'll buy that.
Oh, I don't mind paying a couple of quid. I thought they were like £15 each or something.
Oh, they're roughly, I think they're about £8 now. That one was reduced.
They've come down.
Yeah, but...
What a gift. So this film...
Yes, this film. So, when did it come out? It came out
ages ago.
It did.
2009.
Boy. That long ago?
December 19th. So say 2010, just, you know, tail end 2009.
Yeah, which makes me wonder when I saw it. Because I saw it at a BFI anime season. Mm-hmm. So probably 2011. Because they normally run on odd years, I think. Or do they run on even years? Oh, I'm questioning my own memory now.
Well, if it was an even, it would make sense because it would have been 2010. I don't know. Yeah,
let me refer to my... Yeah, even years. 2010. Yes, I saw it 13th of April 2010. I saw... What did I see? I saw something else that day as well. No, I didn't. It was a ridiculous weekend where I went to London three times in 3 days.
What? What? Three separate journeys?
Yeah, because it's cheaper to get in a hotel in London.
I suppose. So you went specially for this?
I went to see, on the Friday, I saw Evangelion 2.0, You Can, open brackets, not, close brackets, advance.
that one.
Then I saw Welcome to the Space Show. What a poster. And then I saw Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva on the Sunday.
Well, that's the best of the bunch. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I seen that Evangelion? I forget. If I have, I haven't. I don't care. I think
it's the best
better.
One of the new movies, I would say. 2.0.
Oh, maybe it was the third one I saw.
It was the third one you saw with us.
Yes. Oh, Smith. I haven't seen number two then, so I'm going to withhold judgment.
Really lost on number three. But, I mean, they, maybe not, because there's like a huge time skip. Anyway, back to Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. This may be a recurring theme of the episode.
It's part of the puzzle.
So that was where I saw it. So I've not seen it since then. Mm. Was this the first time you'd seen it?
Well, I was due to watch it a few days ago. Because I planned a night. I thought, I'm going to get in from work. I'm going to watch it. And I put it in. I got on the menu. And I thought, I wonder where my DS charger is. I couldn't find it. I didn't want to play anything. I just popped it in my head. And then I spent about an hour and a half trying to find it. And didn't end up watching it at all. And I couldn't rest until I bought another replacement charger. Just because. So I watched it this morning. I was going to watch it yesterday, but I thought, it's a short watch. I'll just watch it this morning. So I watched it this morning. So it's fresh.
Good. Yeah, I rewatched it this morning as well. So this is directed by Masakazu Hashimoto, who we know from Shin-Chan Movie 23, is a thing we've seen him direct.
Is that the Adult Empire one?
No.
That's of course 10 or 11. Not,
yeah. It's the Cactus one.
Right.
The very last Shin-Chan movie we watched. And he also directed episode 6 of Kimono Zume. I can't remember which episode that is. But it's an episode of Kimono Zume. So it's bound to be good. And the screenplay is by Aya Matsui, who wrote Dragon Ball GT and most things Tamagotchi. But I believe the story is by, and I forgot to write this down, it's the guy who's behind all the level 5 stuff.
I wouldn't have a clue. I couldn't even guess.
I'd guess, but I don't want to be wrong. So let me quickly look up his name. But yeah, he's the guy who does the Yokai Watch and Inazuma 11. He's the guy who kind of gets story credit. So he like says, this is the story. Somebody else, please. Akihiro Hino.
Was he involved with the Yokai Watch film we watched?
Yes.
Ah, okay. He can write a story.
Yep.
Certainly can.
And but the interesting thing, which I hadn't known before till up to this time, is some of the people on the storyboards. We have Hiroyuki Imayashi of Kill the Kill, Panty and Stocking, Gurren Lagann, etc., etc. We've got Junji Nishimura from Ranma Half, director. We've got Soichi Masui, Chaika, the Coffin Princess, director. The director of this film was also doing the storyboards, and also Joji Shimura, who is another alum from the Tamagotchi franchise. You always forget how much Tamagotchi anime has been made.
I've never seen a drop.
No, I've never seen it. I've no idea what would go on in a Tamagotchi anime.
I don't know.
Maybe that's a blind spot we need to check out in future.
Yeah. I used to love the toys. Well, I liked the toys. I played with the toy. But I don't know whether I could watch a show on it.
Yeah, the question is, did you watch the Japanese version or the
English
version?
I watched the dub.
Yes,
the English dub.
I
like the voices.
And luckily it is the UK dub, so it's got the UK voice of Luke. There's a different voice of Luke in the US games.
Oh, what does that sound like? Because Luke is like the key. He's a pivotal point of the game. Like for me, while I've played the game, that voice is just... It's a key.
I was like, once I learned that, I was like, why is that a thing? Why?
It's strange.
But maybe it is. Maybe it is because they think it's a backbone, so maybe they want that character to have the accent of the audience.
Oh, clever! Yeah. So Leighton's voice is the same.
Yes, but I believe Luke Triton is the only character who has a different voice in the games, depending on where you. Because level 5 used to be like incredibly anally retentive about their localizations, but that unfortunately not so much with Yokai Watch. I thought because there was a delay between the US and the Europe releases that we might get a different dub, but you've kind of got a weird thing where it's partially localized in that cars drive on the same side of the road as they do in the UK.
Oh, Qatar, yeah.
But they're still talking about dollars and they're buying Japanese things and doing Japanese things. Which I don't know how they're going to do it in the third game where they go to America. So if they're pretending they're already in America, how do they deal with the going to America bit?
Questions.
Yes.
Need answers.
Inazuma 11 had a similar problem. It just sort of ignored it. But that sort of came up in the second game of that. But yeah, obviously for this, they really go to tell them. Maria Darling, I'm sure she does other things, but not
that voice has to be elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just because of Luke, but I feel like I hear it a lot. But it could be just me imagining.
Yeah, lots of... Let's have a look. Four different characters. I think if you watch Channel 5 of a morning, you hear her voice a lot.
I definitely don't.
Because she does voices for Fifi and the Flower Tots, Rory the Racing Car, Fireman Sam, Chuggington.
Not stuff I've watched, no. I'll be honest.
Lots of video games as well, though.
Yeah, it's probably going to be side voices and like extras, I would imagine. But yeah, it's probably kind of been a bit of a, what's that term, like an earwig? Is it an earwig, people?
Earworm.
Yeah.
An earworm's an actual creature. An earwig. It's an actual creature, not an earworm.
Yeah. Well, she's got that, it would cut through whatever you're listening to in a good way, because I think it's a good voice. I do like the voice.
And the other note was Sarah Hadland off of Miranda plays the Celia Radley character.
Is that the rich, like, yes. Stuck up?
Yes, that's her.
Lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a mix of people playing the characters they play in the games and other English voice actors filling in the gaps.
But nobody big.
Not unless you're a big fan of Channel 5 cartoons, I think.
Damn.
There's one guy does loads of voices on the new Bob the Builder. He's one of the people who's replaced Neil Morrissey and the like. So, going into this, Anthony.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I first saw it, I think I had played definitely played the first game.
Yeah.
I may have played all 3 of the first games, but I hadn't played any of the prequel games. And so I was a little lost on the impact of a couple of the characters in the film. How are you going into it this time?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've only played the first game. So I was more so in the dark, but I have heard people trying to get me to play more games. They've said, like, oh, there's such and such a character is blah, 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 related to thingy. And I didn't really take much in, but I suppose it would have a bigger bearing on this, had I known that.
Yeah, because this...
I don't think it acts as a problem, though.
It doesn't, but having now played all but the last game...
It just makes it better.
It makes it better, because you know who Descale is, and you've got a better idea of who Emmy is, sort of. I mean... There's no clue in the first two of the prequel games as to why she's not in the first 3 games.
Is she someone's son, daughter?
We don't.
Spoiler territory.
Nothing at all has been revealed in the 2 games I've played. I've not played the very last game.
Because isn't there like a time skip game?
So, okay, right. So this movie starts just after the first game, and then they have a flashback to just after the fourth game. First 3 games are a set trilogy, where the recurring villain is Don Paolo.
Yeah.
Then the following 3 are a prequel trilogy, where the recurring villain is Descale. But in the prequel trilogy, so the very first one of the prequel trilogy is how Leighton met Luke for the first time.
Yeah,
but
right.
From the very start, that Emmy is already his assistant. And so all the time you're like, okay, who's this Emmy character? Why isn't she with them in the first three games you've played? There's nothing in the first two game of the... There's nothing in the fourth and fifth game, the first two of the prequel, to suggest. So I assume something happens in the very last game as to explain why she's not with the
professor. Oh, gosh. See, I really like the story of the games. And I mean, I enjoy the puzzles, but I wish I could get through the games quicker. To get the story. Because I think there's definitely some good story.
Yeah. I'd say the first three games are much better than the prequel games of the two I've played, both in terms of the quality of the puzzle and the story. The third of the first three, which obviously was originally intended to be the last game, the story is quite remarkable and quite bonkers.
Okay.
And considering how the very first game ends, it's pretty bonkers.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes it even further than that.
Okay. Yeah, I gathered that Emmy character was someone, like, a bigger deal than just this person in the film for the film's sake.
Yes, that was interesting, because now I haven't watched this. I know, obviously, I'm more familiar with those characters, and because this takes place in between the fourth and fifth games, and this film involves Descalais trying to unearth an ancient civilization, that plays into the themes of the fifth game.
Ah. Is Descalais in the games when he's first introduced? Is he a good guy?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I thought there was maybe some twist, which I've maybe had spoiled, but that's good that it's not. Okay. Oh, God, it's quite in-depth, the Leighton universe.
Well, yeah, don't even get to Leighton Brothers and whatever the new game is called.
Is that a crossover, isn't it? Phoenix Wright?
Oh, there's that as well. I've not played that. I've played Leighton Brothers, which is supposedly his son. That's the mobile game.
Okay. Is the Inspector Grosky, is he in the games?
Yes, he's in the prequel games, yes.
He's the man.
Yeah, so he's the other character, yes.
Good.
I think that's everybody. Yeah, so it's Emmy, Descalais, and him, I think, are the guys who you won't have seen if you've only played the first three.
That Inspector was great.
I think there's loads of cameos from other people in there that I don't think I still haven't seen. Yeah, I haven't watched it twice. I was like, no, I didn't notice them. Like the granny who gives you the puzzles you've missed.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, apparently she. Okay. You see her in scenes.
I mean, all the characters look so unique anyway. It's hard to pick one out because it's not like a blank crowd at times. It's like there's so many daft hairstyles and unique. And I think that's great. Like, look, that style is why I didn't realise it was as old as 2009, because it almost feels timeless. Like, it doesn't feel dated.
No, because it stuck with that style. And
I think that's good. Definitely.
You definitely recognise it as level 5 style across their other games as well.
Yeah.
But I also quite like how Luke and Leighton have got the simplest character designs.
I was saying that because Leighton doesn't even have ear holes. And I've never noticed that before. He's got ears.
Yes.
We didn't have any ear holes. How does he hear anything? But yeah, I love those designs.
Yeah, I think it also forces the characters to express themselves physically more than facially as well. I think that's the main thing I get out of this. I thought about when I first saw it and got out of it even more watching it close up this time, is there's a lot of really good character animation all the way through this film.
Yeah, I picked up on a few with Luke where something would happen in the background and he would like overreact about it. I think there's a bit where I think it's Emmy is making sure he's okay or something after the end of the last big climax, and he like shrugs her off, like, don't touch me kind of thing. I was like, oh, that's like, I would not have noticed that had I not been.
Yeah, there's a bit where the inspector's going to hit something, but Nina's holding on to him and she's like grasping onto his fingers still, so he can't go and clench them into a fist to punch somebody. And there's a bit where one of Descalais' henchmen lifts Luke when Luke's trying to fight them before Emmy shows up and lifts him up by the head. And his body does an entire 360 turn spinning, trying to punch him. It's like completely physically impossible if he was a real human, but it works because he's a cartoon.
Yeah. I was a bit anxious that it was just going to be a film that was a tag-on, like a tag-along, just let's cash in on the Leighton series, blah, blah, blah. But it's very much its own film.
Yeah, and it's very much a Leighton film because it has puzzles in it.
Oh, yes. I was worried in case I had to pause at times. I wasn't allowed to press play until I got the answer. But yeah, the puzzles are good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I did play along.
Yeah, the first time you watch it and then that the recognisable font of the game appears with 001 and you go, oh, here we go. He's actually doing everything the game does. Except maybe the one thing he doesn't do is Professor Layton constantly having things remind him of a puzzle. Which
Oh, that's probably a good thing.
Because that is the one thing the game does to force a puzzle on you quite frequently is,
yeah, it's a bit annoying.
You'll be clicking on something and then you'll say, oh yes, reminds me of a puzzle, I'll try this one.
I'll tell you what, Leighton is I think I was surprised how much of a monster he is in this, and it's not obvious, but basically he knows the answer to a puzzle and doesn't choose to tell anyone else, and we assume everybody else dies. And he keeps it to himself, the answer to a puzzle.
I'm sure he was already on to what was going
on. Yeah, it is Leighton. It's not just a cheap job, so yeah, perhaps. But I thought, oh gosh, just tell them all the answer. Because I was like, that's too harsh. Because like, they're falling through trap holes, if they're going there, like trap doors, pit holes, all that jazz, and he doesn't bat an eyelid.
Yeah, so the crux of the game is that people who've been invited to this opera are trapped in the opera house, which turns into a boat, and they've got to go through all these puzzles to earn the right for the secret of eternal life.
Yes.
And so you've got a few people who definitely have a reason for wanting it.
Yeah, like 6 months to live, and one person is just old.
But yes, Professor's being called in because this woman that Janice has written to him saying she thinks she's seen her dead friend in the form of this young girl.
Yeah.
And they go through all these various puzzles, people get picked up along the way. I would say the one bit of the film I didn't like is that chase where they're being chased by the wolves on the island, just going a little bit too long.
Yeah, and they do. That contraption is built very quickly.
Oh, I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm happy.
I know, that's funny. That's funny. But yeah, they drag all that bit out, and then it's like, boof, off they go. I was happy to see the end of those wolves. I like the wolves.
Oh, the character designs for the wolves are great, yes.
Yeah.
But the chase does take a long time. Mm-hmm. Probably could have shaved another 5 minutes or so. Or at least that's how it felt. It may not have taken very long at all. It just may have just dragged.
Yeah, it's your second watch, remember, so...
That is true, yeah. That is true, because I knew where it was going, so...
Yeah. I didn't predict the ending.
But did you figure out who was behind everything? Except for, obviously, Descalier, you can't
figure out. Yeah, I didn't have a clue. I've never heard of him before.
The other people.
No. I thought it was going to be... I thought it was going to be Janice, which obviously she is partly behind it in some manner, but I didn't think he was the main bad guy. But even then, he's not a bad villain. He's not like a villain without justification. He very much has a good reasoning for doing what he's doing.
He does.
Which I think is quite sweet. It's quite a sad moment when like, it's like, yeah, people have been going missing and such, which I don't agree with, but his reasoning is very...
Well,
it's
understandable. Nice. He doesn't really have it's not a good reason for doing what he's doing, but it's
understandable. Yeah, as writing villains goes, I feel he's a well-written character. But yeah, I didn't crack it. I didn't crack the mystery. So.
And then it all ends with, as these things do, with a giant robot.
Yeah. It's quite exciting, really. I think the majority of the film's really exciting.
Yeah,
not the wolf bit, which I didn't think of at first, but then now that you mention it, I think that is the only point that's a bit slack.
Yeah,
of a very tightly belted up pair of trousers.
Even with the puzzle, they work into it.
I do like that puzzle. I do like that puzzle. I did crack that puzzle before they even kind of revealed the answer with the cages.
Yeah.
Smart. Don't forget the sharks.
Yep, sharks as
sharks,
well.
Sharks are there. Are they real? I know not real sharks, but are they sharks that recur in the series? Because they're very...
I don't recall them, but maybe... Yeah, I don't recall. I don't know why they'd have a reason to show up.
Mm.
Unless they show up in the very last game. Because okay. The fourth game is they're in Luke's hometown. So it'd be weird to find a shark there. And the following game is in the middle of, is an oasis in the middle of a desert. So it'd be even stranger to find a shark there.
Well, it's a strange game, so who knows?
That is true, yes. Yeah, that's true. Stranger things have happened in these Professor Layton games.
I was surprised to find out that Luke could speak to animals.
I can't remember if that's in that first game or not. I know it's a big part of the later games.
Because when it's first announced, I thought, oh, it was just a cutesy way of saying he's good with animals. Because I think I'm pretty good with animals. So, if I was a kid, I might say, oh, I can speak to these, whatever,
normally
rabbits.
Normally you'll befriend some animal, which then will then help you find hidden items on the screen. Does that happen in the first game? Is it like a hamster?
There's the cat. The cat's in the first game, but it's not. I don't think anyone befriends it.
There's a hamster in one. I know that. And a dog in another. Anyway, yeah. Normally, it does seem to come up quite a bit, and increasingly so as the games go along. Like in the last game I played, the fifth one, he's having conversations with circus animals at some point. getting clues from them.
Interesting. I would love to see. The instant this film started, I was like, "Oh God, Steven Spielberg could do a great CGI Professor Layton film." It just reminded me of the Tintin film.
I thought he said he could do a great one.
Oh, I love that film. I think that is such a great film. Rewatch that.
No, you'd
be like, no. I really like that. I've had this chat with Niall and Dwayne on their show, and I was a big fan. Big fan. Yeah. I think he'd be great for this. It doesn't need a live action. It's fine in its own style, but if we were pushed, he would do a great Layton film, I feel. I would watch it. Imagine like seeing all the CGI characters, but in that same simplistic style. I think it would look great.
Yeah, you might do, but I wouldn't necessarily want Steven Spielberg to direct it.
Poor Steven. Wes Anderson, Professor Layton film.
Well, I'd say he's got a better track record with animation than Steven Spielberg has at this point, hasn't he, in terms of successful
that's a point.
Animated films. But it'd have to be a stop-motion Professor Layton, which I probably would like to see that more than the CG Professor Layton.
Perhaps. As long as Grosky's in it. I've never seen him before, so I was like, oh my God, who is this character with his huge hairy chest and head of hair? And is he meant to be like a tough guy? Because he's keen on saying like he didn't break a sweat. And...
Yes, he's tough, but blunders into things without thinking.
Mm. He gets on well, though. He manages to do pretty damn well.
And he likes Professor Layton, unlike the guy from the first three games.
Oh, yeah, you see him at the start of the film. What's he called again? You see him in the, like, when they're on the streets of London. Just briefly, but yeah. Ah, it's good. I'm pleased someone likes Layton. That's good.
What other characters do we introduce to? Yeah, Inspector Chelmley is the other guy.
With
the moustache. And his sidekick, Barton.
Oh, I can't remember Barton.
He's the Bobby on the beat with the moustache and the sideburns.
Yes.
So you've got Nina, the little girl, who they think is the person come back to life. Amelia Ruth, who was invited there specially by Mr. Whistler. You've got Oswald Whistler. You've got Babette, who's kind of like a... actually, I don't know who Babette is. No, it's Annie Dretch is the Agatha Christie character, isn't it?
Oh, I've put the notes down for Agatha Christie because I was... I've read a bit of... What's that book called? Oh, I can't remember. But I was like, oh, because I like the setup where all these very strong like personalities get chucked in the same place and they don't quite know who to trust. And
yes.
That's so very much this.
It is, yeah. Pierre Starbuck, he's a footballer, isn't he? He's got an injured knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Frederick Bargland, who's the businessman who's only got 6 months to live. Curtis O'Donnell, the former ship's captain. Celia Radley, who's the high society woman. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. Babette is a character. Is they're in the crowd of people who were there at the opera.
Yeah.
There's characters from the second game in the audience.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Babette's one of those characters.
I see. I thought Amelia was somebody else from the games as well. Because in the ending credits, they have like these postcard images of them doing different things. And she gets a very precise one where she's at a grave putting some flowers down.
Well, hang on, I'm looking at the wrong person there.
And I just thought that's a very precise one for a character that's...
Oh, that, no, it's because she met... Were you not paying attention in the film, Anthony?
Oh, is that because she met...
Remember?
That...
No, it's because she said, I'm not here for the eternal life for me. I'm here for my dying grandfather.
Okay. I thought it was going to be because she met the girl and that was her. Okay. That makes more sense. That's right. Okay. I see. The one bit I missed. Leighton would be angry. Well, maybe not angry, but... There's a great one of those postcards where... Luke's putting bandages on the wolves as well. Because obviously they take a bit of a beating.
They do, well.
It's a bit harsh.
Emmy, because Emmy apparently could beat everybody up. She's the only person capable in a fight.
I like her, actually. I think she's... I look forward to playing the games and seeing... Like, is she like that in the games?
Yeah, pretty much,
kind of tough.
Because I quite like the bit where her and Grotsky... burst in on the scene to beat the henchmen.
Yeah.
But when you carefully watch it, Grotsky doesn't really land a punch. And then just winces when she kicks one of the other guys in the balls.
Oh, that's a... I've seen a lot of people getting kicked in the groin in films, and sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not, but that was a well-executed one with seeing him, like, wince at it. I thought that was funny. It's a good moment. Yeah, she's a good character. She's like a Fujiko... badass.
Yeah,
less
badass.
Sex appeal. I'm not implying that much.
No. Her jacket's done all the way up to the top. She's not Fujiko. anything else you want to mention without giving away the secrets?
I got quite... I was surprised how emotionally invested I got with it. I was quite into it, which surprised me, actually. Like, as I say, because I was, like, on the side of the... Not on the side of the villain, but I certainly had a bit of empathy or sympathy. I don't know which one. Is it empathy? Whichever one
yes,
it is.
Empathy.
I had
or sympathy. Either one could be right. It depends on what you mean by what you're saying.
Well, I was kind of... Like, I wasn't condoning his actions, but at the same time, he...
So you understand his actions, yeah. That's
yes.
Empathy.
Yes. And it was quite a sad reveal. But no, I really enjoyed this. It's a shame. There's not more films, is there?
No, this was the only one we did.
Which is perhaps a good thing. If they were just pumping these out, that I think the quality would start to wane a little
if
bit.
If you carry on with the games, you'll notice the quality start to dip in the games.
That's a shame.
Particularly, I mean, puzzle-wise more than story-wise. Though at the same time, I would say the third game is the best story.
Mm. See, it's the puzzles that I find annoying at times, because, I mean, I'm a fan of a puzzle, and I don't mind getting stuck. But there's times there's got to go to Google.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of puzzles, isn't there? And so you'll often find a particular type of puzzle is your nemesis. It's but mine's particularly any puzzle where you've got to move pieces around and be able to visualize like multiple steps ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Those ones I often have trouble with and go and spend those hint coins.
Is it the picture rats? Is that what they're called, picture rats?
I can't remember.
Please tell me I'm not making that up. I'm sure it's a picture rat.
Yeah, it sounds about right, but I cannot remember. Those ones always annoy me. And there's a lot of them in the second one.
Oh, gosh. It's all the maths ones. I just sometimes can't grasp. There's a few. I'm getting stressed just thinking about it.
A math one or a logic puzzle type one, I'm pretty happy with. But in the second one, there's these recurring, when you're in this dungeon area, these recurring move these boulders around. But once you push them, they carry on rolling. And so you have to move them in a certain way, otherwise they roll off the edge of the platform.
I'm quite good at those. It's like let the car get out of a certain
area. That toy you can get, yes.
Yeah, I'm quite good at those.
Yeah, those always do me in, or I have to like get the hint of like where to move the very first one. And then.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah, it's a shame there's not more. Like to say, like as I say, I wouldn't want to see a constant spree of these. But I would, 2009. That's long enough to have another one, surely.
Yeah, well, you get a fair wedge of animation in the games as well, though, don't you?
Yeah, true.
And that always tends to look pretty good.
Yeah,
the cutscenes are pretty cool. What's the new game called? Because they just changed its name, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
The one where it's supposed to be the daughter, is it?
Is it out? Is it just out, or is it not quite out yet? Or...
I think it's not out yet.
Let's have a look at the list of games. Leighton's Mystery Journey. Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy.
That's it.
And there's a seventh game. A seventh game to be announced.
Ooh.
So there we go. Yeah, I really enjoy. I was surprised. I'm not like super into the games. I enjoy them, but I'm not super into the games. And that's why I've only played one. And I think I've got two of them in the cupboard, but I've just not bothered.
My mum got the first one, and then after she finished it, I borrowed it, and then I got all the others.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Apparently, there's a talking dog in this. Leighton's Mystery Journey.
It's a job for Luke. At least we know Luke's going to be in it.
It's a basset hound.
He hasn't been killed. Oh! Maybe someone's a ghost in the shell. Maybe it's the twist.
Anything else to add? Otherwise we'll probably have a short episode.
I don't think there's much to... I don't really want to give too much away.
We could just say... We could say, if you don't want to know who did it and why they did it, we could say, stop listening here, and then we can talk about it. Or the other thing is, I could say more, but I don't want to spoil the other games for you as well. That's the other
thing. That's a point, because I don't really want to... Yeah. Screw spoilers.
Okay.
I was quite... Put it this way, the reveal, when it happens, there's some bit I was still kind of confused about. I can't think what now, because it does explain it, but as it's being told and explained, I was like, what? But it's a good reveal, and I think the payoff is good. And Luke definitely has a thing for Janice. He wants to be a hero.
Well, no, he just wants to be a gentleman. Like, I think he has a thing for Professor Layton.
Oh, God. That's not a thing I dare put into Google.
No, not, I'm sure you're not in that way, but he wants to emulate him, doesn't he, in every way.
Yeah.
So he wants to be the hero. He wants to be a heroic gentleman like Professor Layton.
Mm.
I think that's...
Layton can even fight. I didn't realise how good of a fighter Layton was. He's just a... he's a quiet hero. He's definitely got the minerals to be a fighter, and you know, like the end with the sword fight. Spoilers, but
looking at my original review I wrote after I watched it. Yes, so there was a few things I forgot. It was when they go to the opera, and he's talking all the way through the opera, and he doesn't take his hat off in the opera. He's not really that much of a gentleman, is he?
No, one of the guy behind look, because you see the guy behind first, and he's like looks super annoyed and bored. Maybe that's why, not because he wanted to get the formula for eternal life. Because I was like, why does everybody look so annoyed? Then obviously it's because they just want that. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The more I think about it, the more I really like, this is fun. This is fun.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it. I may have enjoyed it more this time than the first time.
Because you know some of the characters.
Yes, because it plays into themes. So when the giant robot shows up, it's not so out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And the ancient civilization also makes sense within Descalade's character when you know what's happening next.
Do you ever see him without the mask?
I believe you do, but not in the two games I've played.
Okay.
I believe that's coming up. Yeah, again, he wears lots of disguises, the same as Don Paolo did. Though Don Paolo's disguises get more and more crazy as they go along in the games.
Well, like less obvious that it's him, or...
Yes.
I mean, at the start of this, he's an old lady. He's dressed as an old lady, so...
I think it's pretty much the same as, like, any character could be Don Paolo.
Ah, okay.
He's an amazing master of disguise. Mm-hmm. That seems to be his main thing.
We need a Lupin-Leighton crossover.
Yes, because, I mean, obviously the end has got has got a bit of Castle of Cagliostro.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I would love to see... I mean, Leighton would have to team up with Lupin for a bit.
Yeah, or they'd be racing to solve a puzzle to find a treasure.
Yeah, yeah. Zenigata and Groski.
Yes.
Blows with each other.
Yeah, I mean... No, I mean, that's the good thing about Lupin is you could imagine a crossover with most of the things.
That's quite true.
Easily.
We could be in a Lupin crossover. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm not a Phoenix Wright fan, so I've never been inclined to play that game.
I've played a little bit of the first one, and I've really got into it, but another game came out that I wanted to play ahead of it, so it got put on the back burner. So I'll have to start again. But I think it's really good, Phoenix Wright, what I've played. I thought it'd be up your alley, actually.
It might be, but I've not tried it. So, sorry, I'm yawning. I broke my brain yesterday playing Mechs versus Minions.
Oh, is that a mobile game?
No, it's that board game by the League of Legends people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cooperative programming board game, so...
Oh, it's, what's it like?
It's really good. Me and my brother were playing it two player, and the second mission is quite hard two player. I mean,
So you're playing against
the game, yes.
Ah, okay.
So it took us three goes to do it, and also on the third go to say let's do this in the easy mode, not the normal mode, because. We're making it hard enough for ourselves just doing it two player.
Mm. How many players can it?
It takes four. So yeah, this one's got like four sections. You've got to go and collect three crystals,
yeah,
and bring them back to the school, and while protecting the school from the minions as they advance, which is a little difficult when there's two of you.
Yeah, you'll be playing League of Legends next.
No.
I didn't know it was a League of Legends game. I did not know. Cause I've heard someone mentioned, probably if you've tweeted about it or something. But
yeah, I put it on Facebook.
I didn't realise that it was a League of Legends thing.
Oh, yeah, Riot Games made it.
God.
You can only get it from Riot Games. And that's why, because they're the manufacturer and the supplier.
Oh.
You get a lot of stuff for your money.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like that it's overpriced.
Oh no, it's underpriced. If anything,
how is this?
It's like 75 euros. but you get a massive box.
Yeah.
The four character miniatures are fully painted. I think, how many minions miniatures are there? At least 100.
Whoa.
And they're all at least got a black ink wash on them to pick out all the details. And then you get a timer, a bomb, various metal parts to keep scores and things clear. Plus, everything's got almost like a chocolate box type trays. So it's like four trays down. Everything's got its own place to put them in. So everything's secure in the box when you move it. Yeah, it's amazing.
And what made you get it?
My mate had bought it second hand because he couldn't wait for the second wave to come out for like 100+ quid. And I played it, and then I really liked it to the point where the following night I was dreaming about not the game, but the game mechanics. And I woke up in the morning, I thought, I should probably order that if I liked it so much that I'm sort of imagining possibilities with the mechanics in my sleep.
Wow, it must be pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. The other game I played was Clank, which is also...
Clank?
Quite good. It's a...
With a K or with a C?
Yeah, it's like a... It's a deck-building, push-your-luck game where you're playing adventurers delving into a dragon's dungeons to steal its treasures. But as you go, you keep on making noise, which is the clank.
Ah.
And every so often the dragon will wake up, and all the clank is in the form of cubes you put into a black bag. And then you pull out cubes from the bag to see which of the adventurers got by the dragon that time.
That's interesting. I was going to say, it doesn't look half as exciting as the other one.
Oh, no, it's also cheaper. But it is pretty good, and I'm pretty bad at it so far in my first two games. But it was fun, and I'll enjoy playing it with more people than just my brother. And less intelligent people than my brother.
Oh,
that's a standard chat.
So you're bringing it to Kitacon, are you? Or?
Yeah, I might be, yeah. Not bringing mechs versus minions, that's way too big. Having said that, I may well be bringing Celt Express and all the expansions so we can have an 8-player game of that.
Oh, gosh.
Any other puzzle-related stuff, Professor Layton stuff? Talking of... Do you play other puzzles outside of Professor Layton? Do you like to sit down with a copy of Puzzler?
I used to when I was young. I'm really good at word searches. I know that's a very different... puzzle than like a Sudoku and stuff. I'm very good at a word search. Funny enough, I've been playing, it's not really anything like a Layton puzzle, but I've been playing Thimbleweed Park. Have you heard of that?
Nope.
It's by the dude who did like Monkey Island and all that stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of it. So I'll finish it.
Sounds like I'm not a big fan of Monkey Island, so it sounds like I would be a fan of this.
Ah, right, yeah. The humour just doesn't appeal to me.
I really don't care for those point-and-click games.
See, I like Broken Sword, but I think the puzzles are very different. So the puzzles in this are... I don't think they're that well thought out.
Yeah, see, the thing I like about Layton is the puzzles are contained...
Yes, yeah.
Each puzzle is like, here is a puzzle, here are the walls of the puzzle, solve it within this. Yeah. Whereas in point and clicks, sometimes you've got to be thinking like the people who wrote it.
Yeah. You've got to run, you've got to go somewhere else in the world and come back.
Which is...
That's what I don't like.
If you don't think that way, it then just becomes trial and error.
Exactly. Like, and then the puzzle's appeal is lost because you kind of guessed your way there.
Yeah.
Which I've very much guessed me where there with the Layton puzzle, but that's fine. Well, I do like locked-in room puzzles, like those kind of games where it's just a room and you've got to click on stuff in the room to get clues.
You can now get escape room games to buy.
Really?
Yes. There's like a whole bunch of them out at the moment.
Once you've played it, that's...
Yeah, a lot of them, once you've played it, that's it. So I think it's Exit the Game, Unlock, Escape Room the Game. I think those are the three I can remember existing. And I think Time Stories got a degree of that sort of thing. But Time Stories is probably more like the point and click type stuff.
Yeah.
Because that way, Time Stories is designed that you can go through the adventures again until you get it right, because you're time travelling.
Oh.
So if you fail the first time, you can go through again with the knowledge of what you learnt the first time through.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I love Room. Some great games on the DS with those. You know the 999 game?
I know the name, yes.
Nine Rooms, Nine Doors, Nine Persons or something. That is a fantastic series. Speaking of puzzlers. Yeah.
Righty-ho, that's Professor Layton.
Yeah, go watch it. It's cheap enough. How much did I get it for?
Oh, it's on CEX, quite cheap secondhand, didn't it?
Yeah, I got it on eBay. Oh, how much did I get it for? Either way, it was not a big enough deal to remember the price. It was that cheap, so...
Wasn't quite my 99p ones, though. Of
no, no, that's...
My DVD collection of 99p DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Professor Layton, in the Eternal Diva, CEX, I got it for £3. You can sell it to them, Anthony, for 70p if you like.
I'd rather just take it out of the box and put it in my DVD sleeve. So if you want a Professor Layton box, anyone, I'm your man.
It's £3 for the Blu-ray as well, same price.
Oh, is this?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let me see what that last game is. That's the one I need. Oh, still £20 to buy secondhand, though.
Yeah, I don't think... When I got them, I don't think I got them particularly cheap, considering how old it was.
Yeah, I mean, I've got... I think I've got them all sub £10, but this last one hasn't dropped its price. Perhaps because the... I think perhaps because the other ones were dropping a price because a new one came out. But because this is the last one...
Yeah. So is it Azran Legacy that you need?
Yeah, that's the last one. Yeah. For now, obviously. Cause there will be different puzzles because the guy who set all the puzzles is dead.
Oh.
So it'll be different people setting the puzzles on any new Layton game.
So it might change how...
Well, yeah, Layton Brothers is completely different. It's crime scene investigation.
Oh, that could be good.
So he's like a forensic scientist for Scotland Yard.
Is it still Professor Layton as a character? Or...
He's not in it at all, at least as far as I've got through. And the name Layton Brothers is a little misleading as well, because it only involves, as far as I can tell, one Layton, and it's his son. So you go to these scenes and you can twist the scene around in 3D and look for clues and then try and put it all together and question suspects.
See, that's very much like Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, this is a lot cheaper, though, because it's on mobile devices.
Oh, right. See, I wish I had like an infinite battery on my phone and I would play so many more mobile games.
Yeah, so that one is like, I think the first mission is free and then you can buy chapters separately.
I like that kind of system. Because, you know, if you don't like the game, you just...
Yeah, I know level 5 are trying to move more and more towards mobile stuff, so... Mm-hmm. We'll have to see how much longer they stick with Nintendo and Vita. Right, I think that wraps everything up for this week.
Yeah, Layton professionals now.
Yeah, anything we want to plug, Anthony?
Twitter is AntAskew. I've got a YouTube channel, which is also AntAskew, so go and watch stuff and watch me tweet. That'd be weird, actually. Just wait for
watch
the tweets.
Watch your tweet, yes. Just
for the tweets, that's fine.
Don't look at anybody else's Twitter. Just go directly down to this page.
And wait for updates.
Yes.
That's all you need.
So less than 3 months now to Kitacon.
Oh, yes.
So we will be there on the Friday. I will be doing Anime Space Disco.
Do you know the timings of these yet?
I do, 2 p.m. Nice. I know the room as well. That should be in Woodscowan.
Oh, God, I always forget what.
That is the one which looks like you're back at university.
Oh, maybe I'll not go. Don't want any flashbacks. No, I'll be there. Oh, no, is that the one you did the...
It's the one I did the cats in last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Then on the Saturday at 8:30 in the theatre, I'll be doing Mad Stravaganza. I already have too many clips for it.
That's in the evening.
Yes, 8:30 in the evening, not 8:30 in the morning. Yeah, it'd be weird. I'll be doing it in the breakfast room. No.
That would be some good breakfast viewing, actually. I think that would be.
I don't know. Some of the videos. Well, the video I'm considering opening with might put you off your porridge.
Oh, great.
Yes, so that'll be in the theatre this time, unlike Amicon. So you should be able to get in. I've never filled the theatre. I don't have 600 fans. I just have more than 100.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, no. And then on the Sunday, myself, Anthony, Niall, Elliot and Gary will be doing Dynamite in the Brain live at 11:30 in the morning.
Going to be good.
In the studio.
Oh, which one's a studio?
That is the one which Master Avaganza was in Amicon.
Ah, I hope it's not too hot. I don't like a... Actually, we'll get water and stuff.
You'll be fine. It's the theatre you can get hot in, particularly when they put the spotlight straight on you, as I found out last year doing the second go-through of Never Ending in the End. I was like, oh, blimey, I'm sweating up here. Glasses are slipping off my nose.
Well, get hydrated.
Oh, I've got new glasses. That's the solution. They stay on my face better. Yeah, so we'll be in there for fun and games, mainly games, hopefully fun.
I was going to say, I hope it's fun as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those. Should be good.
Yep. And that's it for Dynamite in the Brain for another week. If you like it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next week on the show, the Twin Peaks of anime. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.